Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back, Thompson to Clark. You know what, Brad? I'm just going to get into it right now. I didn't even tell you what was going on, but we're going to get right into Old Guy Alley because I have a quick Old Guy Alley that I just was so frustrated with for a couple seconds here. You are a guy who is in IT. You understand how technology works, how the internet works, how computers
I was just
work.
Looking at this little SSD 1 terabyte hard drive I have on my desk. That's how small they are. I understand this stuff, yes.
So, unfortunately for me, because of where we live, Comcast is how we connect to the internet. Now, give them a benefit of the doubt. It's been pretty fine out here in Sunnyvale. And they sent me a modem because I guess they have upgraded tech. There's new models that they want everyone to jump on and start using. And I always hesitate because if it works, I don't want to ever touch it again. Like, that's my mentality.
Right.
Because the second you touch it and you mess with it, it could possibly break and you don't know what's going on. So,
yeah.
They sent it to me and I was like, okay. And then there's all the other rigmarole about how you connect it. And then you got to send the other one back and you got to find the right store or you go to the post office. They could have just sent me a box and say, hey, stick it in the box and we'll pick it up. Like, that'd have been great. But no, they do not do that. So then I thought, okay, I can't do any of this on the weekend. Our television's connected to the internet. I don't want to interrupt anything. I'll wait until Monday. Everyone's gone to work. I work from home. It'll take me 10 minutes. I'll be back up and back at work. No problem.
Don't ever tell yourself that.
So, first of all, the Xfinity app on Comcast is horrible. It is. I just dread opening it because it's so bad. But you have to do everything through there. Again, I'll give it the slight benefit of the doubt. It connected pretty quickly. The actual connection, everything was actually pretty fast. I had a pretty okay time with it, with one exception. So I am hardwired for internet in my office. So this computer that I am on right now is hardwired. My television in my office and my Apple TV and my PS5 all hardwired as well. So I don't have to worry about Wi-Fi. So as I plugged in the new modem, what is the one thing I forget to also plug in? The Ethernet thing.
Oh, no.
Because I was just worried about Wi-Fi because I just wanted to connect everybody and make sure everyone else, because everyone else is connected to Wi-Fi. I'm the only one connected to Ethernet. So I'm like, oh, my God, why is this not working? And so I don't actually use Wi-Fi on this computer. So the Wi-Fi connection is always off. So I'm toggling with it. I'm like, why is this not working? I go to my TV. Why is this not working? And then about 10 minutes before we're about to record, I had the aha moment. Oh, yeah, I'm connected to the Ethernet in this room. No wonder it doesn't want to connect any way possible. And I can't. And it's like not letting me connect to Wi-Fi. So I did do that, which is why we started the show a few minutes late.
Yeah,
everything was kind of all wonky. But I had just one of those old guy moments. What I was dreading. And then I was like, no way, this is way easier than it usually is. And I just jinxed myself because I forgot one thing.
You never say that. You never say, hey, this is going to be a simple fix, especially swapping out a router, because anytime you swap out a router, you've got to take the router. You know, the trick is always take the new one. As soon as you plug it in, change the SSID to the same as the old one, the password the same as the old one. That way all your devices see it and connect automatically. You don't have to change. You don't have to go around to, because I mean, back in the day, what did we have? 2 Wi-Fi devices, you know, so that's it. You know, I could change the password. It's no big deal. Now you've got like 40, 50 things hooked to your Wi-Fi. So if you don't automatically pop in and change your SSID and password to the same as the old one, then you're going to run into a massive amount of issues. Try to talk my parents through that one when they moved into the new house and they're like, but it can't be the same. I go, no, it can be the same because the other one's disconnected. So it really doesn't matter. So yeah, there's little tips and tricks. And it's always, you know, it's always one of those things where you're like, I'm just going to do this really quick and there won't be any hiccups.
In the, you know,
that's when you get the hiccups.
The other thing though is, you know, when you think of all of the people that you help with this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm the one that people ask to help and then I can't figure it out. And it's just driving me nuts. It makes me feel. Hey,
I do it all the time myself. I can't even tell you. I have a 34-inch monitor at work, and today I was like, I'm gonna do the KVM, the built-in KVM in it, the keyboard video mouse, and so then I could set a shortcut and just roll Control One, go to one desktop, Control Two, go to the laptop. Took me forever to find the damn shortcuts in the application on the computer itself, and then you have to go to each computer, and then the shortcut can't be. If you want to do Control One, you've got to set it to be the other computer, because once you go to the other computer, now you can't come back if you have a different shortcut set. So anyway, I was struggling with that this morning and all that. I had the aha moment. I go, oh, go to the other machine and set it to go back to the other one. I got it. It's backwards. So, yeah.
All right. It is time. It is spring training.
Yes.
The diabolical Bismarcky says. All right, we have five questions and five players that we just came up with because they're guys that we're watching. Last week we talked about guys we're watching really closely this spring to see how they're doing. And this is more about five players who we're kind of wondering the fit. We're wondering, you know, how they're going to do compared to what's the expectation. And in some cases, and probably the first one that I'll talk about, being Mike Yastrzemski, are they even going to be here? Because he's on a free, this is free agent year, his last year before free agency, 35 years old. The Giants will no longer have any control to him. And what is his value in an analytical world where he excels at specific things? And then he doesn't excel at other things, which are kind of the things that make you a lot of money in baseball. So we'll talk about the five players that we have five questions for. But before we get to that, I know you said that you watched a little bit of spring training this weekend. What did you catch, and anything catch your eye?
You know, I didn't get to watch as much as I wanted to, but you know, I really don't know how people are going to take this, but I really enjoy the automatic balls and strikes system. Because when the Giants, I think it was 2 days ago, they played the Dodgers, and the Giants blasted through. They got both theirs wrong like within the first two innings, so then they're gone. You don't get them the rest of the game.
Yeah,
the Dodgers in the fifth inning, they used three challenges and got all three of them right. So they still had their two challenges the rest of the game.
Oh, wow.
I enjoy that. The one tweak I want to see, because I like it, you know, you tap your hat, you tap your helmet if you think you want to challenge it, and you got to do it right away. You can't look over the dugout and go, you know, like the old days, is Sean Dunston checking that one for us? You can't do any of that stuff. You have to make that decision as the pitcher, catcher, or batter. You can't have help from anybody else. What I think would be a really cool thing is if each batter, now I don't know how they would do this with the pitchers, but if each batter had one challenge or two challenges per game. Because it really doesn't, I mean, it doesn't slow the game down. You get the result within like 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it pops up on the board. You see it, it hits the strike zone or it doesn't. You know, so watching them do that actually live while watching a ball game, you can miss it. It's right. That fast.
Right.
So I think if each batter, so then if a pinch hitter came up, hey, he's got his challenge. Or two challenges. I'd say one challenge per batter. Because if you come up to an AB in the ninth inning, the base is loaded and it's the 3-2 pitch and it, you know, skirts the corner and the umpire rings you up to end the ball game. It's nice to have that challenge, not have them have been used by other players in the fifth inning, fourth inning, or whatever it is. So to be able to have a challenge, all the way up through the ninth inning, one per batter, I think that would be kind of cool. And maybe each pitcher gets two, you know, something along those lines. If you're a relief pitcher, if you're a starter, you get two. If you're a reliever, you get one, and that's it.
You know who would have really loved his challenges? Wilmer Flores in the 2021 wildcard series.
But can you check can you check a check swing? That's the question. I mean, we gotta should that be reviewable, a check swing? What do you think going forward?
You know what I think they should do for replay?
Yeah.
Basketball, like we talked about this, basketball does it really poorly, and it really kind of does is make the games so much longer, which, you know, from a commercial standpoint, maybe the national telecast kind of enjoys that. It's like, oh yeah, we get 3 hours of commercials instead of 2.5 hours. I think any and football does this, which is less than 2 minutes in the game. Any play is reviewable from the booth because they want the significant things. They want the things that matter to be called correctly. Now, there are other things that the NFL does in kind of a dumb way. Like they're changing this year for the first time. They're not doing the chains. Like it's going to be digital, to test for the first downs.
See how that goes.
But also, like, why is there not something in the football that can actually place where the ball is instead of a 65-year-old dude's like eyesight, like you and I, you know, are struggling looking at our phones, and these guys are
there. It is there. Exactly. Yeah,
but they do bad that correctly. Eyesight. Like I think when you get to the eighth or ninth inning, if there is a close play, that all of them should be reviewable, but it's got to be quick. Like New York's got to be on it, and we can't sit here and wait 5 minutes for a call, because then the kind of the whole flow of the game is gone, and then pitchers get cold and all that stuff. So anything eighth or ninth inning, you don't even need a challenge. It's just going to get figured out by New York. Maybe it's just for the playoffs. Maybe you just try it in the playoffs, and it's not, you know, everyday game, but that's the stuff that I think matters. That, and we go back to the Wilmer thing. It's obviously a check swing. He may have struck out on the next pitch.
Yeah,
but we don't know because he got hosed on that thing. So that's the thing that I would like to see that they get right. And but you know, these are attempts to try and do some stuff. And baseball has done a really good job over the last 2 or 3 years to get some of this stuff right, which they were so resistant to when we were growing up. Like everything had to be done this specific way because that's how it was always done. So I like when we have evolution of things. So I'm for it.
You know, and I think that's really the key is the flow of the game. You know, if you disturb the flow of the game, you can't have it. I that's just kind of how I feel about it. For me at that point, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. Yes, get it right. But holy moly, especially in baseball, I'll be the first to admit, I mean, I'm a baseball nut. You and I are baseball nuts. We've loved baseball ever since we can remember. It's a slow sport.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. It's got a flow to it. It's got its own slow flow to it, should I say. But it's got its charm and it has its, you know, hangout feel. Hang out, you know, things are happening. All of a sudden you go from 0 to 100 miles an hour at the swing of a bat. I mean, things start moving and things start happening. If you start disturbing the flow, I mean, here we got the pitch clock, you know, to speed things up. That's how slow of a game baseball is. So if you disturb that with replay after replay after replay after replay, it gets tedious. But I mean, we're in the digital age. We're full cameras everywhere. So there's no reason somebody can't be watching the game, you know, for what at the most, what is it, 15 people, because there's 30 teams and, mm-hmm. and you've got, you know, you've got 15 games going on at once, and not even at once. I mean, you finish watching a game and now you watch the next game. Somebody who's hired to do that in New York. I don't know why they, like you said, though, they can't just see it and go, wait a second, that was too close. Let me take a quick look. Scrub, scrub, scrub. Okay, he's right. And you don't even have to say anything to the umpire at the point. You don't even have to tell him to hang on unless you absolutely are going to change that call, but you're doing it so fast. So that's kind of one of my main takeaways from watching some games this weekend. And the other takeaway is I wish I was there in the stands with a beer. That's my, that's my other takeaway,
man. Yeah, JJ reminded me we went to spring training game 2 years ago, I think. So that was the last time I was there. And, you know, it's just one of those things. We're going to have to get back, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's getting close to my retirement. And the kids are getting older, so we could do a little bit more traveling.
Yeah.
You know, we travel with them as much as we can because, you know, we love taking vacations with the girls. It's an absolute blast still. We're heading off to Disneyland in like 2 weeks, and they're just absolutely jazzed for it. But, you know, we can make those shorter trips on Southwest from Reno, hop down to Phoenix, catch a few games over a weekend, and then fly back on a Monday, leave on a Friday, come back on a Monday. So, you know, we're starting to look into more of that type of stuff that we can do. But who knows?
All right. One more thing before we get to our five questions and five players segment, which is, I don't know how much you've followed this, but ESPN and Major League Baseball are at an impasse as it pertains to their contract. Now, ESPN signed a deal with Major League Baseball. They get baseball on Sunday night, and they get the wild card portion of the playoffs, or there's the I forget what part of the playoffs they get, but anyways, they had an opt out in their contract with Major League Baseball, and they exercised it, and so this is the last year of baseball on ESPN unless they just come back to the table and renegotiate, which is always a possibility. Yeah. But Major League Baseball, I'm sure, is looking for better relationships with some of these streamers that are out there, like a Netflix or an Amazon Prime, for some national products or some national broadcasts. And then the other part of the product that I think they're going to really try and find some wiggle room with is, you know, we talk about these RSNs, and RSN just stands for Regional Sports Network. So if you watch the Giants, you watch the Giants on NBC Sports Bay Area. And we had talked about this where they're kicking the Giants to a higher tier, so you actually have to pay more to watch them. I don't know when that's taking place, if it has already taken place. I haven't seen it on my Hulu bill, so I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. But so that's kind of in process as well. And so Major League Baseball may have, you know, 10 or 15 teams that they have the regional rights to, and they may try and package that in some way with one of these streamers. Like, one of these streamers may be the one selling these packages. So when we were kids, ESPN didn't really have much of the sports rights. Like, there was Australian rules football. There was AWA wrestling.
Oh, lots of bowling, right?
There was bowling. There was, they had lots of college basketball. I remember lots of college basketball when I was growing up. Yeah. And then they started to make deals with these big leagues. They made deals with Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, NFL. And so it just became like, oh, like ESPN is now kind of the big time. So for them to step away from baseball is kind of interesting. And I just saw, I guess there's an article in the Wall Street Journal where they were like so far apart in how much they wanted to pay MLB and how much MLB wanted that maybe they don't get back to the negotiating table. It looks like there's some bad blood going on. But It's going to be kind of weird without Sunday Night Baseball, right? I mean, they already dumped Baseball Tonight, which was kind of like the hardcore baseball fan show for us.
Right.
They dumped that, and now we may not have a Sunday Night Baseball after this year.
Yeah, I mean, if they can find another avenue. Here's the thing. I used to watch Sunday Night Baseball, but life is so busy now. Sunday nights are kind of, you know, when you've got work and you've got teenagers and stuff like that, Sunday nights aren't, I'm not sitting around watching baseball at 4 p.m. I'm usually
out. It's also a good TV night with the spouse.
Absolutely. Good movie night. We like to throw on a, you know, like a Marvel movie or something on a Sunday night. I'm usually out barbecuing around 4:30, 5 o'clock to get ready to come in and watch shows or a movie. So Sunday nights are hard anyways. MLB Network has done a fantastic job of putting on some good games throughout the week. Fox, like FX, what is it? Fox Sports One. I don't even know what it's called anymore. I think it's just called Fox Sports because I don't think there's a two anymore. But Fox Sports, they put on some games on Thursday nights. I don't know if I'm honestly going to miss a whole lot of ESPN baseball because what else did they have? They had Monday nights sometimes, Wednesdays. You know, I'm looking at the schedule that was just put out for Apple TV Plus, the Friday night baseball schedule. That's actually looking pretty. See, now Friday nights, kind of getting ready for the weekend. I'm in a baseball mood. I'm definitely watching some ball games. They have some games now. You know how they did? They did a lot of the double headers last year, where the games were starting like 4:30,
right?
5 o'clock. They have a lot this season, early in the season, that are starting at 3:30 p.m.
Oh, wow.
On the West Coast. So, like, let's see, the second one of the season, April 4th, Dodgers at Philly. That's a 3:30 p.m. game. And then you've got a 5 p.m. game right after that in Tampa Bay and Texas. We don't play, Giants don't play on Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus until April 25th against Texas, and we're at home for that one, so it's 7 p.m. start. And then 2 weeks later, May 9th, it's a 5 p.m. game in Minnesota against the Twinkies. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to really miss ESPN baseball a whole lot. Cause like you said, I mean, the big draw for us, you know, when we were younger, the big draw was Baseball Tonight. That was, you know, when I first got cable, I want to say it was like 1995, and it wasn't even cable because cable didn't run in our neighborhood in the Bay Area of all places. It did not run there. We got a satellite dish, so I got to watch ESPN and I got to see Baseball Tonight, and I was like, this is the greatest thing. But now with the MLB Network, if you want your fix of baseball inside stuff, I mean, that's where I'm going. I'm not going anywhere else. I tried the ESPN Plus, what do they call it? Sports Center Plus on Disney Plus this morning.
How was it?
It's 15 minutes long. And it's like, here's the top 10 plays. And then here's a couple of quick stories. And then we're out.
Wow.
So it's kind of like,
it's like a Snapchat show.
It kind of felt like that, but you know what it felt more like? An advertisement for SportsCenter. You want more of this? Come watch SportsCenter. So I think that's kind of what they're using it as. It's a little bit of an entry into, you know, hey, don't forget SportsCenter is still on. So
I've told you this before, but if I had every morning when I wake up, you know, wake up for work, I work from home. So really it's just waking up, getting some coffee, looking at my phone, turn on the TV for 20 minutes, and then I get started for work and I kind of dig in. If I could get a 15-minute baseball show that just tells me what happened last night, I would be in heaven. Same thing for basketball, by the way.
Yeah.
It could be on YouTube. It could be on Pluto TV. It could be on any one of these millions of networks that we have to watch stuff. It's just crazy how in this day and age I can't find anything that kind of fits that. All I want to do, I don't even need an in-depth analysis of what happened in the game. I need scores, I need highlights, I need stars who did well. I need a look at some of the young players, and that's it. Like, just give me 10, 15 minutes of what happened the night before, and I'm gold. But it has to be narrated. I know Apple TV kind of does one where there's no narration, and they just show you highlights that kind of just spins through, and it's mostly just home runs.
That's like an hour and 5 minutes. Yeah. I mean, it's like a good 5 minutes per game. It's like, I get that, but you can't jump to the game you want and jump back to the other. Like, if you could do that, I'd be on board. But who's got an hour to sit and watch highlights from the night before?
I mean, you know, we're
that's a lot.
We're talking baseball, but for the NBA, there's like 20-ish games left in the season. And really what the NBA is right now, if your team is in the top 10 in your conference, you're looking at possible playoff positioning and possible play-in game positioning. Yeah. Like, I just want, like, I could look at Twitter and search for scores if I really want to, but I'm watching the West. I'm watching all the teams ahead of the Warriors. How did the Clippers do? What about the teams below the Warriors? How did the Timberwolves do? That's all I care about. And I just cannot find a way to do that without having to sit through, more than I want. I just want 10, 15 minutes and I'm good. I would watch that every single morning in both sports and be so happy. And I can't find it. So if anybody knows where there's a surface like that, hit us up, man. And GG at bspnmedia.com. I'm looking for it because it's hard. I don't know why it's hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's baseball. So you could break it down. Like you said, you could break it down to like, here's Mike Trout hitting a home run. And then, you know, nobody really cares that much if the starting pitcher went 7 innings, gave up 8 hits, 4 runs, but struck out 9. That's fine. I'll see that in the box score. I don't need to see the 9 strikeouts, but that's what I feel like you get with the Apple one. And I think it's MLB.TV also has a really long one as well.
Now, I like MLB.TV.
Right.
If I need just to see the clips of the Giants game that I missed or the Dodgers game that I missed, and they have a little 3-minute video that's fantastic. Like, that is worthy of subscription in of itself, is just to have that. So that's fantastic. Yeah. And some people might say, why don't you just watch SportsCenter? No, because I don't care about Jimmy Johnson retiring from Fox. Like,
lacrosse. You don't care about lacrosse?
Well, I read about it, right? I read about it because it's all on Twitter. But I don't need to see that because I'm not interested. I want on-demand stuff that I'm really focused on right now. And I'm sure there are people who care about Jimmy Johnson retiring from broadcasting, or, you know, what's the latest in the NFL combine? Like, if I want that stuff, then I want to directly have that stuff. Speaking of the NFL, I think Rod and I will be up to Tuesday night talking the Debo trade, because you got to keep Stafford, but 49ers had to trade Debo.
Yeah. Is that a good trade? Bad trade? Just quickly. I don't.
I think they were going to cut him anyways. So like they got a fifth rounder.
Get in a fifth rounder. Why not?
You know? The thing that sucks about it is the cap hit that they're going to have to take this year because of trading him, which kind of sucks. Yeah. So
that's the business of football nowadays. You know, those cap hits. It's just so hard.
Yeah.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, let's get to our segment about our five players and five questions. And I added a fifth one because we both had two. And I was like, oh, let's round it off. Let's make it five. Okay, so I mentioned Yaz at the beginning. And here's my question. And I'm asking it kind of for both of us to discuss. Is Mike Yastrzemski, and a lot of this will have to do with how the Giants are post All-Star break, if they are in the race, if they are close, if they are not, is Mike Yastrzemski on the Giants before the or after the trade deadline in 2025? Because, like I mentioned, he is going to be a free agent next year. He could literally walk away. Now he has given the Giants value. I always complain about him because, you know, in the clutch, if I see this dude with two strikes, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he plays right field tremendously. I think he was like fourth in the NL in assists last year. I think he led all outfielders in runs saved because of his defense. Some of that, I'm sure, has to do with the difficulty of the park that he plays in. And yeah, you know, he can run into one. And I think he's a fan favorite. I think the fans appreciate him for kind of having the great story of being an older rookie and sticking with the team for as many years as he has. But realistically, is he somebody that, A, would benefit a team maybe who is in a better position than the Giants are come playoffs, but also, at the same time, is he holding back a younger player who the Giants will want to kind of grow through their system and obviously cost a lot less to them because they're the end, they have the rights to. So it's kind of a double-sided thing, but do you see Mike Yastrzemski finishing out his last season before free agency with the Giants?
You know, that's a tough one because honestly, I feel like if he was holding back a player that the Giants wanted to have playing right field day in and day out, like a, let's say a Luis Matos, somebody that they wanted to get all of the at-bats to, that Yaz wouldn't be here right now. I mean, they had the chance to trade him in the offseason, chance to release him. They had a chance to not offer him arbitration. A lot of chances to ditch him. I think they feel at this point that he gives them the best chance to win as the right fielder in the lineup. And that's fair because, you know, like you talked about, we've seen him in that ballpark and he's been a top three Gold Glove finalist a couple of years of playing right field at Oracle. So his value is not necessarily in his bat. I mean, he's, what's his WAR, like 2.4, 2.5 usually yearly. But that glove, his glove out there in right field is, I mean, it's invaluable. But that being said, if the Giants are battling for a playoff spot and he's hitting 205 and his OPS is like low 600, I think at that point you've got to see what else you've got. But then again, if his glove is what it has always been, do you then look, I mean, you've got to then look at the value and say, we're trading a guy away and we're putting a Matos in there, we're putting an Encarnacion in right field. You know, what is that going to do for the pitchers? What is that going to do for the pitching staff, the relief staff? It's a one-run ball game, and you need a good right fielder to make those plays out there. And that's where Yaz has his value. So until the Giants really find a guy, I mean, you know, McCray is a good fielder. can you stick Grant McCray in right field? I mean, what's his back going to be like? He's, I mean, you know, his spring is not very good so far. But again, this would be halfway through the season. So are you making me answer? Is that what you're doing?
If you had to guess.
If I had to guess, okay, my heart says he's going to be with us the rest of the season.
And all the Giants have to do is just be a couple games over 500, and they're probably competing for the last wild card spot.
Absolutely. So my heart says yes, he's going to be around the entire season. And I think my gut says yes also, because I don't know. And there's going to be injuries. There's going to be things that happen. People are going to get shots to play in the outfield for the Giants other than Yaz, Junghoo Lee, and Elliot Ramos. That's just going to be the way it's going to go. And Yaz is getting older, and he's had his share of injuries the past couple of seasons. So that's the other reason, too. I mean, if Yaz is hurt on and off, you can't really trade him. You can release him.
Yeah.
But when he's healthy, his glove is good. So my heart and my gut, they're feeling good about this one.
Yeah.
But I say feel good, and some other fans might say that's feeling bad, but I feel good about having Yaz. So
the other thing, they do not have a lot of good defensive outfielders on this roster.
No.
Encarnacion which is someone we're going to talk about in a second. He's a DH. Essentially, like you may get away with playing him in the outfield, but he's a DH.
Right.
Ramos is your left fielder, but he's not anywhere close to winning a Gold Glove, I don't think. Junghoo Lee, you hope that defensively, because he's got speed, that he becomes a plus defender. And I think there is hope and there is thought that he can actually get there. And then Yastrzemski is one of the best right fielders in the game. Who's behind Yastrzemski? You mentioned Grant McCray. Grant McCray strikes out 40% of his at-bats right now, so he's going to have to add some add a contact tool to his hitting game. And then we also mentioned Matos. And the thing about Matos is, I go back to that game I was at. Alex Cobb has the no-no going.
Oh yeah,
and the ball that is hit, that is the hit in the game, is Matos would have had to make a great, great play to make that play. But at the same time, I'm like, I wonder if Yaz was in right field, if he would have been able to make that play and keep the no hitter. I don't know, but knowing that it was Matos in right field, I was like, ugh. You know, I wish we would have had our best player out there to defend that. So, you know, that's just the other thing. So who's one of your players who you have a question about?
You know, I it was more of a question at the beginning of the season, because beginning of the spring training, because this is a guy who's been talked about quite a lot. But and pronunciation of the first name, I've heard Gerard. I've heard Gerard. I like Gerard because it's easier to say and it actually sounds pretty cool. So let's go with Gerard Encarnacion. He's a guy who just hit the crud out of the ball last year. Exit velocity was off the charts. And in the minor leagues, he was destroying the baseball. The Mexican leagues destroying the baseball. And he's got 10 RBIs already in spring training, which is not, I mean, RBIs in spring training, it's, doesn't mean a whole lot. But the fact that he's hitting 455 and seeing the ball well and crushing the ball, he's a guy that I wonder, can he be our full-time DH? And when you're looking at a guy like that, right-handed batter just smashes the ball, can he be your full-time DH and even face righties? I don't know exactly what his numbers were against righties last year, but again, last year was such a small sample size.
Yeah.
What we're seeing from him and the confidence that he could also bring into the season. but it looks like he's absolutely battling and going to have a spot on the roster going into the start of the season. So that's my guy that I have a question about. Can he be a full-time DH? Because again, we don't have many lefty bats. So that's the problem, is when you're talking about a lefty DH, who are we looking at? I mean, I can't even name many lefties that are on the Giants roster at this point.
You got Bryce Eldridge
Jr. You got Bryce Eldridge. I mean, what we've seen of him in the spring so far has been, you know, good with the bat to start, then kind of slowed down. Fielding is rough. Misplayed a real routine ground ball the other day that went for a double. and so, you know, so that's kind of hard. He's not a full-time first baseman yet. He's going to need that tutelage, and that he's going to need a lot of innings at first base going into the season.
So, here's a question. Do you need Encarnacion to be a full-time DH if you have Wilmer, essentially? You could use Wilmer in that spot. I mean, we've watched this brother run for the last few years.
Is that what you call it? Running?
He's not moving well. So maybe keeping him off of the field completely helps his legs a little bit, and he's just your full-time DH. I wonder if that's their fallback plan, which is, okay, we'll give Encarnacion a shot. He's got power. As long as he puts the ball in play, hits it hard. But if he does not succeed, and, you know, we do have to, because he doesn't have any options, I don't think.
Right. No, he's out of options.
And then you have the Wilmer's fallback plan.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. And just kind of give him a little bit of a rest, too. I mean, if Encarnacion needs some time off, you've got Wilmer. The talk is Wilmer is your off-the-bench guy, your late-innings pinch hitter. So, you know, I think this, looking at the roster, and if Encarnacion can be that guy and he could be a 25 home run guy, you're looking at like five guys in the lineup that could hit 25 home runs. And then Adames, who could possibly hit 30, 35, maybe even. And then you've got Chapman that could probably hit 30. Ramos, and then you got the question marks, because then you've got Ramos. Encarnacion, and I had a fifth. No, I can't think. Yeah. Who am I missing?
Okay, go over your guys again.
What's that?
I said go over your guys again.
So possible 30 home run guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got Adames, uh-huh. And you've got Chapman.
Yep.
And then three more guys could possibly hit 20 to 25, and you've got Encarnacion, and then you've got
Elliot Ramos.
I had another one earlier.
Did you have Fitz in there?
Fitz is tough. Yeah, maybe just four guys that could possibly hit that big.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, if Eldridge comes up, and then we're talking next season, and that's maybe what I was thinking about earlier today. It's been a long Monday.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so my next guy,
yeah,
is Robbie Ray, and my question for Robbie Ray is: can he? It doesn't really have to do with if he's going to have like this crazy comeback season. It has more to do with: is he going to be able to stay healthy with the way that he pitches, which is he grunts and throws every single pitch about as hard as he can.
Yeah.
Because if he's not going to go deep into games, then he's kind of your five inning guy. And maybe that's, you know, you get five or six innings and he strikes out 10 guys, and then you gotta, you know, you're close, the game's close, and then you depend on the bullpen. Whereas Logan Webb is kind of the opposite. His whole goal is to go seven or eight innings, and he's not trying to throw the baseball by guys. He's trying to pitch into contact in some cases and get them off balanced. So Do you think that Robbie Ray is going to finish the season as a starter, which means, you know, we're talking 28 starts, 30 starts? Is that what we're going to see, or are we going to see some scenarios where they're going to have to sit him down, or maybe he goes on the DL and he's going to miss some time?
Yeah, I could see that. He's the one question mark that I have, because you've got Hicks and Harrison. I mean, it's tough, because when you look at the starting five, you can say, all right, we've got five guys that are going to be pretty tough, and it's going to be a good. I think I saw MLB Network post our starting five last night. They put Harrison at like four. They put Harrison at four, Jordan Hicks at five.
Yeah, they don't know. that's part of my problem with the national media covering teams. They're not that close to the certain teams.
No, and one of the comments somebody said, you know, because they said what type of rotation is this, and one of the comments was it's a top 10 rotation, and everybody of course bashed the guy.
Yeah.
But I can see it, because I don't think there's nine rotations. I don't think there's 11 rotations, should I say, that are better than the Giants rotation if those guys can all put in their starts. And then with Robbie Ray working on the changeup that he got from Tariq Skubal, he got diagrams. It was crazy. He all got videos, diagrams, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the article that I read said that I guess the liaison was Matthew Boyd, who pitched for the Giants for, like, right. I don't even know if he pitched for them, but he was on the roster.
No, he never did. He never pitched.
And then they traded him. But he was the liaison to Skubal. And he's like asking him about the changeup, and he's kind of wondering, like, is it patented? Like, he just want to give out these secrets. And so they asked him, okay, well, what did you help him with? He's like, I just told him to throw a slider as hard as he can.
Yeah, exactly. What was the exchange? I showed him how to throw my slider, but it's really his slider, but I just told him to throw it harder. So yeah, it's some classic stuff, but I think Robbie Ray is a good question mark, because his upside is tremendous. His downside would be an injury, and that would be tough. But you've got, I mean, the Giants have such a deep, young starting staff at this point, with when you got Harrison and Birdsong and Wisenhunt, who needs some time. You've got Mason Black. You've got, it's going to be deeper. Kaiwei Tang, off the top of my head, I know I'm missing a couple, but I think he probably misses a few starts. He probably gets like 26, 27 starts this season. Because there's going to be some time. He's going to need a breather in the rotation. I mean, this will be his first full season, his first full spring since what, 2022, mm-hmm. right? Because he got the injury in his first start in 2022. So he went through spring in 2022. So this is his first full spring in 3 years. So I'm going to probably 27-ish starts, which is fine, because
if he throws that much, he's probably going to be really good for them.
I think so. And then you could plug in Birdsong for a couple of those starts as well. So, yeah.
All right. Who's your second person?
Second one is the biggest question mark. It's been our question mark since, I don't know, June of last year. But Camilo Doval, who we really, really, really need at this point, because if you've got Ryan Walker and then you've got Randy Rodriguez and Tyler Rogers as your seventh and eighth inning guys, it's kind of tough. But if you can get Camilo Doval to be your eighth inning guy, and he could throw strikes, I mean, he's been talking to couple of the Giants' former players, and one of them,
Yusmeiro Petit.
Yusmeiro Petit. So that's one of the guys that has kind of talked to Camilo Duvall and is like, you just attack. You know, if you have to take something off of the fastball, if you have to take something off, you throw strikes. That's kind of the key. I read another article in the Chronicle today about, you know, how the Giants pitchers in spring training and their bullpen sessions are trying to hit and also in games, trying to be in the green zone. So the Giants have set up a green zone in the strike zone. They're basically saying, if you're attacking the zone, you're in the green zone. The higher percentage, the better. And they have a winner each day. It's like a Starbucks gift card and stuff like that. But apparently in 2021, when the Giants pitching staff was pretty damn good and pretty lights out, they led the league with 66.1% first pitch strikes and strikes in the strike zone or early in the count. Last year they were 64. So that's how tiny of a fudge factor you have. It's just 2%. And that was good enough for like fourth or fifth. So they're trying to get that back up there. And Camilo Duvall is one of those guys that really has to be there for his stuff to be effective, because otherwise it's easy takes. I mean, when he misses, and you and I have seen this and everybody's seen this, when he misses, he's not just missing on the corners.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's missing on the corners as hard as he's throwing, he's going to get some swing throughs. The problem is when he's missing out of the hand and you know, 5-6 inches off the plate. So he really needs to attack the zone and he needs to be that guy who is the eighth inning guy and takes that mantle and says, you know what? I'm not the closer anymore. Ryan Walker is dirty. His stuff is deceptive. He only throws 91, 92, 93, 94 sometimes, but he's super deceptive.
Actually, I think he throws harder than that.
You know what? I think he does. Yeah.
I think there was, he had mentioned maybe that he was in the low 90s until he figured something out with his,
right,
with his delivery, and he actually can get up to like 95, 96, 97 sometimes.
Right. And with the deception and the turning the back and everything else that goes on with his pitching and his windup, I mean, he's super nasty. So you can't, he's won that role. That's the thing. He won that role from Camilo Duvall when Duvall couldn't handle it. So you've got to have the right head on Duvall's shoulders to be able to take that eighth inning role.
Right.
Because it's very important. Melvin did say, you know, when Ryan Walker was moved into that ninth inning role as the closer last season, they were in a spot where they didn't know who was going to be their setup man. And it kind of put them behind the eight ball a little bit. So if they can go into this season knowing that Duvall is right, and if something happens to Walker and they need to get Duvall in there, you know, a rest night, you use Walker two nights in a row and right, all of a sudden Duvall can now close out a ball game. That's extremely important. You have a two-headed monster, and we've seen that in Baltimore. We've seen that in Philly. We've seen that in San Diego at times, you know, LA, who knows? I mean, they got like eight guys who can do it. So to have more than one guy who can be your closer, if you're going to be competitive, that's what you need. So that's one. Yeah,
that second thing that you said about Duvall is more of my question, which is, can you go from being the guy to not being the guy? Because there's a bit of ego there. And from an agent's perspective, the ninth inning guy makes a lot more money than the eighth inning guy. So you want the guy to be the ninth inning guy. So does that mean out of camp, you know, maybe Duvall's plays it cool, but are they going to be looking for a trade so that he can be a ninth inning guy somewhere else, which helps him get paid more than if he was just a setup guy? So that's that's another interesting wrinkle to that conversation.
Yeah.
All right. Our last guy. I had a few that I was thinking about. One of them was Eloy Ramos, because he fell off pretty hard in the second half of the season, similar to Tyler Fitzgerald. Actually, Fitzgerald's a little worse. I had those guys kind of in that area. I think by the Giants signing Willy Adames, Tyler Fitzgerald is less important to be as good as we were hoping he was going to be. He moves over to second, and if he doesn't hit, then guess what? You got Casey Schmidt, who's going to be a better defender, and you just play for the defense, and you move Fitz into some utility role, or Brett Wisely, or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about Lamont Wade. You know, will Lamont Wade be the 2021 version of Lamont Wade, or the one that we've seen of late, though? Again, on base percentage, very high. But I decided to lean on Luis Matos because there is an outside chance that he can be the Eliot Ramos of 2025, mm-hmm. just on opportunity alone. He's got the tools. The problem with him is earlier in his career, he was making lots of contact and not powerful contact. And he still is a great contact hitter. I think I saw there's a stat where he was like second to Mookie Betts in some sort of statistic around contact. But sometimes, as we've seen, it's soft. It's like little looper line drives that are easily caught. But it's really about his contact or his power more so than, you know, I'd be fine if he struck out a little bit more if he hit the ball a little harder, right?
Yeah, for sure.
How hard is the ball coming off of his bat? That is kind of the thing that you need to watch for him. And if he has improved at that level, then he's possible for that kind of role that Ramos played last year. He just needs an opening, and he doesn't have that opening right now, which kind of leads back towards our discussion about Yastrzemski. Because if Matos could push for more ABs, then maybe he is the guy who hits lefties and Yaz has to sit, but then you deal with the lack of defense, which he is not a good defensive outfielder at this point in his career. So
right.
I wonder, my question about Luis Matos is he going to hit the baseball hard enough to make the Giants think of finding a position for him? Because, you know, we've also talked about Luciano and kind of like, I kind of like to see Luciano, you know, win that DH job. Similarly to Matos, right? Like, there's guys there who, if they hit the baseball and they hit it hard, the Giants may not care which one of them gets in the lineup. It doesn't have to be Encarnacion. It could be Luciano. It could be Matos. Like, let's pick one of those three. Can one of those three have a good enough season to just stick through? Like, you got opportunities for all three dudes. So that's something I want to see. If Matos can get his name in that mix of possibilities for being in that lineup, I want to see that.
Yeah, and I'm looking at exit velo from last season. Giants players with at least 100 batted ball events, Matos was 10th on the team. He hit the ball harder than Brett Wisely, Tyro Estrada, and Wilmer Flores. Didn't hit the ball harder than Tyler Fitzgerald, Mark Canha, Jung-Hoo Lee, Conforto, Yaz, Lamont Wade Jr., Patrick Bailey, Eliot Ramos, and Matt Chapman. So you're right. I mean, that's the thing is, the other thing too is he's got to get the at-bats in AAA. Yeah, because he can't be. The Giants could carry a fifth outfielder. They could also have Brett Wisely play second base while Fitzgerald goes out to right field. Fitzgerald is an outfielder. You could put him in center. You could move Jung-Hoo Lee to right field for a game. But to have a fifth outfielder like Luis Matos, who just sits there and gets to play every fourth or fifth game, that's going to really, really hurt his growth. So to see him go back down to AAA, and like you said, I mean, find exit velocity, find hard hit balls. That's going to be his key to being that guy. Because if you're hitting dribblers and you're hitting loopers and they're finding spots, now all of a sudden your BABIP is not, you know, is not indicative of your batting average. So it's really got to be one of those situations where he's crushing the baseball.
Yeah.
And just being 10th, that's not a starting nine. So, you know, in terms of that, but again, they were, you know, they're not looking at just that. They're also looking at defensive value and other things. And at some point he'll be up. I mean, 2025, he will be up, but I don't think it's going to make the team out of spring.
Yeah. Because of how Ramos finally filled the need or filled what they thought he was going to be. And look, Ramos has to do it again. Like, he just can't be a half year wonder and just be like, all right, I proved myself. Yeah. You know, you hope that Ramos continues to improve. He's a little bit older, but yeah, I think this is an opportunity because of a, like we were talking about with right field, and B, the sort of the prove it opportunity for some of these guys. And I'm not saying that the Giants are having less patience necessarily, but you know, I think with a new regime, if you're from a prospect from the old regime, you probably do feel a little bit of pressure to succeed. You know, because Buster's soon enough going to have his own prospects that he's drafted and that he's interested in. And, you know, as these guys get a little bit older, maybe there's a little bit less patience with them. So we'll see how that works. I think that's a fascinating subplot as well. But, okay. So we got through five, we'll be back next week and trying to figure out what else is going on with this baseball team. It'd be nice to see Eric Miller pitch.
Yeah, finally at some point.
you know, we were talking about how Kyle Harrison was a little bit behind, but he did throw. I want to see these young arms just like they're all competing, you know, and let's see. Make the Giants' decision hard here. That'll be
fun.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. So, actually, we'll answer Haruka's question because Haruka was going off. He was going ham on poor Matt Chapman. Matt Chapman didn't do anything, and he was just
Matt Chapman's trying to live his life.
He's getting subliminals, just dissed hard by Haruka.
Matt Chapman's just trying to wake up and you know, brush his teeth. Jeez.
Is Yaz, Flores, and Wade the future in 2026? Of course not. They're probably all not going to be in the roster on 2026. This is probably all of their last years with the Giants. What's the point, you think, playoffs this year? I would probably bet against playoffs if I was, you know, betting. I would assume that, you know, at least for the first two or three months, I think they're gonna be around 500, and if you're around 500, then you're good for that sixth spot, at least competing for that sixth spot. But why are they on the team in 2026? The reason why they're all on the team in 2026 is because they provide value for the dollars that the Giants pay them, and there are no prospects who have beaten them out for those positions. Because the flip side is like, let's say Yaz, you're out. We're putting Matos and Grant McRae in your spot. Flores, you're done, and Encarnacion is the DH, and we don't need you. And Wade, you're out. Giants don't really have a first baseman. You know, if you want to bring up Eldridge and he hits, you know, 210 with 20 bombs, that could be a scenario. The problem is you can't lose 115 games in San Francisco because nobody's going to go.
Right.
The city is not going to support a tank job and a rebuild. It's just never going to happen. So the Giants need to be slightly competitive. And if they thought that they wanted to tank, then you also don't sign a Justin Verlander. You go with a younger pitcher. You don't keep a Robbie Ray. You probably trade a Robbie Ray and you go with a younger pitcher. So yeah, it just doesn't fit what they're trying to do. So that is why. And
well, and you've got Flores and Wade on the roster too, because yeah, like you said, they're cheap. I mean, the, yeah. you know, dollars per, we went over this a couple of shows ago. I mean, Pete Alonso is making a ridiculous amount of money. And if you compared that to the war that, that Lamont Wade Jr. has, Lamont Wade Jr. is getting paid about 10 to 12 million less than he should per the war. So he's a value. And Bryce Eldridge can't play first base right now. So, I mean, and that's pretty much what's holding him back. And he's, you know, the kid is 19 years old. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of seat warmers at this point. You have nobody else that can play first base other than, you know,
I mean, Junior and Flores. The Giants are all of a sudden rumored for the Vladdy trade.
Like, exactly. Yeah, it's not, I mean, you know, if the Giants trade for Vladdy, then Eldridge is going to Toronto. I mean, that's the only way that's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah,
at
yeah.
that point. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, Haruka's talking about Eric Miller being done. The numbness in the fingers, everything I read is gone. And he just has, he has an illness. He has a cold, the flu, whatever it is. So he's, that's why he hasn't pitched yet. Went from one thing to the other.
Yeah, yeah. Poor guy. Just hoping this. Yeah. The numbness went away and then flu came.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll be back next week. So for Brad, I'm Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.